Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We got the grab bag, clip du jour, on the way later this hour. WEEI Afternoons takes over at 2 o'clock. Rashear Fleming, I don't pretend to know much about him.
Yeah, Keith. Yeah.
You were watching Billis, though, on night one of the draft, as was I. And this is a guy very high on Billis' big board who constantly he was referencing as a guy he thought was falling. And if you missed the clip there from Shams Charania last night on day two of the NBA draft, second round, he said, well, once a team moved up the board, who was it? I think it was Phoenix. Who moved up the board? I forget. To 31 to take Rashear Fleming, the Celtics moved out. And they acquired 2 second-round picks that they used last night and 2 more in the future for trading out. So they traded 32 for 4 second-round picks. And I would say to the Celtics, if you liked him so much, you should have taken him at 28. And I don't pretend to know, again, a lot about Rashear Fleming or a lot about Hugo Gonzalez, who they took at 28 on night one of the draft. Mm-hmm. But the profile of a player is, I wanted the Celtics to get somebody who's going to contribute. And Gonzalez sounds like a project. This guy was a 3-year player at St. Joe's, 6'9", 220. And he averaged 15 a game last year at St. Joe's. This other guy averaged 3 a game in La Liga or whatever it was.
Right.
Serie A, whatever it was over there. And it's like, I would have rather the profile of a player like this as opposed to a project. That doesn't mean Gonzalez can't be better than Fleming, but it sounds like the Celtics really like this guy. They should have taken him at 28.
Well, and for the upcoming season, I know you don't draft for like that upcoming season, but if you did, and if you were trying to prioritize that a little bit, knowing that you had to dump off some of your players for salary and Tatum's out for the whole year, if you wanted a little bit more help from the rookie class, you would have done just that and hoped that Gonzalez even fell 4 spots. And
isn't that
there.
What you want? Obviously, that's not how they feel, but that's what I wanted for them.
Yeah, no, I think that's what they kind of need right now. Like, we'll see what else Brad Stevens has up his sleeves, what other moves he can make. Because right now, I mean, George Niang and Nemus Keita are probably starting. Either both or one of them is.
Right now, one is definitely starting, yeah.
And, like, Baylor Shireman's going to play. I mean, they still have Hauser, so, like, Hauser's going to get more minutes and all that stuff. But a guy like Fleming, who is 6'8", and, he might have been somebody that would be more likely to maybe crack a rotation. Also, this is sort of a separate kind of topic to it, but how does it, like, get out that that's who you want? You know what I'm saying? Because, so, night one ends. You go into night two, and you're like, hell yeah, we have the second pick, and we like this guy. And then, like, 10 minutes before the draft, or even, like, minutes before.
Not to the media. You mean to other teams in the league. Yeah, good question.
Oh, after the fact, whatever. Like, if Shams says it, like, hey, we knew this all the time, great.
Yeah,
but, like, Phoenix knew
how
that he was going to go 32, so we have to go to 31. And this happens in football. It happens in other sports. But it's a weird thing to me to be like, do you got loose lips in there? Or like, what are you saying? Or just like,
does it feel like the Celtics have loose lips?
No, it doesn't.
I don't think so.
It definitely doesn't, because they've made big trades before that just kind of happen out of nowhere, let alone draft picks.
The Simons, I mean, the fact that we on the outside didn't know about it doesn't mean people in the league didn't know that one was percolating.
I'm like, Drew Holiday knew that one was coming.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't think the Celtics feel like a team that blabs a lot or lets things get out. So it's a good point. How the heck did that get out?
It's strange because, especially the way the format is for this year's draft. Obviously, Phoenix caught wind of it, liked this guy enough, and I forget where they moved up from, but they clearly didn't think that he was going to still be there, and so they fly up the draft board, grab him, and the Celtics are like, all right, that's our guy. No, we can't get him.
Speaking of our guy, B-Rob over at Mass Live has this. He wrote it, in the last couple hours? Headline, Celtics to stay active in trade market as free agency approaches. So I've been wondering, like, are we done with big moves? They're under the second apron. Is this kind of the team? We laid out our plans for the Celtics yesterday. You can check them out on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. B-Rob writes, the Celtics had a relatively quiet 2 draft nights after a week of dealing, landing 3 players with just 1 expected to be on the 15-man roster next year. That's Hugo Gonzalez. The moves capped off a busy week, blah, blah, blah. However, with free agency fast approaching and the Celtics prioritizing bringing back free agents Al Horford and Luke Kornet, league sources tell Mass Live the Celtics are expected to remain active in the trade market while retooling their roster. And the team is expected to explore their options with newly acquired talent like Anfernee Simons and George Niang, along with other parts of the roster, including Sam Hauser. So we're not out of the woods on that. Hauser, I'm not going to kick and scream about. Niang, I think, is a rotational player here. And like now that he's here, he's a terrible return for Porzingis. But that's a guy I thought was in your rotation. But I'm not going to cry about losing Niang. I'd be more annoyed about losing Simons. Like that,
me too.
That would bother me.
Yeah, definitely. Like both of those guys, they're in their contract
trading
year.
Simons to carve out room to sign Luke Kornet.
Like
that stinks.
No, thank you. And even Niang, how many? What's he getting? Like $8 million next year? How many guys are you going to get that for cheaper than him with more production? Like in you know, like somebody in a trade, or even if you're trying to just go to look at what's in a free agency. Like I don't know who you're going to get better than that. And not that he's any great shakes, but you're taking Niang and Simons. They make almost as much money combined as, say, Holiday does. And you're like, all right, for a year, that's what you have. See what it is. And then, obviously, you have a little bit more flexibility when Tatum comes back. And then you can really kind of use the Simons money for that. And maybe somebody that's on a long-term deal somewhere there. But they definitely need bigs. Like, they don't have real NBA starting bigs on the roster right now. I also feel like, just because they want Al Horford doesn't mean they're getting Al Horford. I don't think he's coming back.
I don't think so either. Carving out cap space for Al Horford to me makes a lot more sense than for Kornet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't need to carve out. I liked Luke
Kornet. If he's back, nice.
Right.
But, like,
but I'm not trading off.
Ends?
I don't even know that I want to trade off Hauser to carve out room to bring Luke Kornet back.
Yeah. See, I think in a vacuum, I'd rather have Hauser than Kornet.
Me too. But a bigger need. I understand your point.
Yeah.
I can find a cheap veteran big man. You know, if you're carving out space for your guy, the name you mentioned yesterday, Bobby Portis, I get it. If you're carving out space for Horford, I get it. I like Kayvon Looney. I think you can get him cheap as a potential
probably
name out there.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't need to trade pieces, especially Anfernee Simons, to bring in Luke Kornet. By the way, great theory on who could have leaked it.
Oh, yeah.
Dark and Stormy Nights, Utah could have leaked it.
Ooh.
Austin Ainge was here until late in the offseason. He's now in Utah. They have their own problems. We're going to get to this in grab bag.
Utah does have problems.
Yeah. Utah has some problems with their number 5 draft pick, Ace Bailey.
So then they just let Phoenix know that or something? I mean, I guess.
Well, yeah, but now that's a team they got to deal.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. If that,
also, we're
if
talking
that
about
helps.
The 31st pick in the draft. It's not even
it's
first
not
round
a huge,
pick.
It really,
who really
isn't
cares?
A huge deal. No, it's really not a huge deal. I was just thinking more of like, all right, how does that happen?
No, but I'm just telling you, if they like this guy so much at 32, they probably should have taken him at 28. But again, that's a minor gripe.
Maybe someone would have sniped him on Hugo.
A minor nitpick, maybe. Yeah. That's possible. I'd feel better about that personally. By the way, Mike Zarin was asked about bigger names. B-Rob said, keep an eye on Simons, keep an eye on Niang. Keep an eye on even Sam Hauser. He didn't mention Jaylen Brown. He didn't mention Derek White. Mike Zarin was asked about this last night. He spoke after round two. Brad Stevens spoke after night one. Here's Mike Zarin.
Those two guys are really, really great NBA players, and there hasn't been anything close to serious about trading them. And so I'm not sure where all this reporting came from, but those guys are key parts of our team, and we're lucky to have them here.
Okay. So it doesn't sound like those guys are going anywhere. Look, I'd trade anybody in the right deal, but I wouldn't be itching to trade either of those two.
Yeah, I don't think any of it really makes sense. You and I certainly aren't of they're untradeable. In fact, there are very few untradeable players in the whole league and maybe even in all of sports. But those two guys, I'm sure they heard. They're not actively shopping either one, but Brad Stevens has been very busy so far, already trading Porzingis and Holiday, maybe even talking about Hauser to other teams. I'm sure these names have been brought up, but I can't think of any realistic trade that would make sense. A lot of people were trying to throw the number 2 pick from San Antonio in a package of whatever, the number 5 pick from Utah in a package of whatever. I don't know. None of that really ever jumped out to me. I think you're better off with Jaylen Brown and Derek White, especially because the Eastern Conference is as wide open as it is, and Tatum's coming back. Like, I feel like if Tatum was done, or like his contract was up, or he was way older, or some other scenario, I would say, all right, these are two guys that you should probably move on from. You're not winning a title with Brown and White as your best players. So if you can really like restock everything, do it. But knowing that Tatum's going to be back in the following season, I'm hanging on to these guys.
Yeah, he certainly didn't shoot down that they've been taking calls on Brown and White. So to me, that's interesting. He's like, no, I mean, nothing got close. But he didn't say, we're not taking calls. We hung up on people. He just said nothing got close.
Yeah.
Which I do think is interesting as well. The top five American submissions continue to come in. You can check out our lists, the top five Friday, at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. You can hear the full thing again on the Odyssey app. Kenny Powers has now been submitted a couple of different times.
Great one.
Nick popped in and mentioned that
specifically
name.
When he was in the Mexican League, right? And he came out with like the American flag on
him. Good point.
Yeah.
That's a great one. There was another one I liked that scrolled by. But no, Kenny Powers is one.
Dolly Parton?
Well, that's one of Brooksy's favorites, I think.
Yeah,
is what that is.
I agree.
So we'll continue to take your submissions on that. But Kenny Powers is a great one.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, speaking of Greg's show, they are in Gloucester for a road show.
Yes.
They're up in Rockport last night, Gloucester today.
Mm-hmm.
I just see a headline here from Boston.com. North Shore whale watch boat gets up close to two white sharks.
Oh, boy.
Two great white sharks were spotted about 10 miles off Gloucester's...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Coast on Wednesday.
10 miles, not that far.
As captured in several photos and a video. I'm reading here again from Boston.com. Gloucester whale watching. Yeah, Shime, I know you're not getting on that greasy pole.
Stay off the greasy pole.
Thank God.
Sharks in the water.
Yeah. You think the sharks heard about the greasy pole?
Maybe.
They start swimming their way in. They're like,
well,
hey.
They grease it up with like lard and stuff. So I bet they're like, oh, that sounds good.
All kinds
probably
of stuff.
Probably could smell it
plus,
miles away.
Plus humans in the water. They're probably like, they're just going to have people flopping around in there.
Human blood.
A Gloucester whale watching company spotted two great white sharks. Forgive my ignorance. How often are they swimming together?
I mean, mating season?
I thought sharks. Oh, is it mating season?
I would imagine. You ever see the film Open Water? There was
a lot of sharks in that one.
I don't think
this
is mating season. I think every season is mating season.
I don't. I think they go south to mate, and then they come back up in the summer to hunt.
You know more about sharks than I do,
well,
Jones.
Clearly.
Yeah. But I would say
the number one villain of all time.
That's true.
You did have
that
Jaws.
That is my top villain, not to be confused with my number two American, Randy Quaid. Do they typically swim together? I thought they were kind of like lone wolves, lone sharks.
While sharks are often portrayed as solitary hunters, many species are actually quite social and can be found swimming in groups, including
many
pairs.
Species? What about
great
white sharks?
Oh. For example, while typically solitary, have been observed traveling together for extended periods, even forming what researchers call friendships.
Oh,
it's a scientific term.
Movie this year,
well, that's kind of
friendship. Yeah,
good point. Well, that's kind of nice.
Uh huh.
Seven
other species like hammerheads and reef sharks are known to form larger schools. But
nice.
even great white sharks, well, they'll pair off.
That's scary.
Couple buds.
Seven Seas Whale Watch left for one of its daily trips, and the boat's naturalist, it's a good gig, spotted a fin half a mile ahead of them, according to a social media post.
Good eye.
Basking and blue sharks, the two most common sightings on the agency's trips, were ruled out by the look of the dorsal fin. Turns out they thought it was a great white or a mako. It was two great whites. And they're not that far away from Greg Hill and the rest of the Greg Hill show up in Gloucester.
I mean, that's got to be as scary a thing that could happen to you.
What?
Like, if you're, like, in the water and, like, you see a great white shark. Right? Like, especially if you're out deep.
Well, there's two of them.
Well, I mean, okay. Double the scares.
Yeah,
double the scares.
Double the fears.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
But this thing could kill you in a second if it wanted to.
If it was.
And it'd be fair because you're in their land.
Yeah, you're out
their
there.
Their jurisdiction.
You fell off
not
the greasy
so much.
You fell off the greasy pole.
Yeah.
Now you're on their turn.
You're in their sea.
That's on you.
Yeah.
That's on
you.
Okay. Well, stay safe up there, Greg Hill Show, and everybody attending the road show. We did get a bunch of texts about Tom, the greasy pole individual.
Yep. Yeah, some people met him.
Didn't seem like.
No, I don't think they were necessarily
didn't seem
fans.
Like they loved the interaction. Let's be fair, Keith. We have not interacted with them.
I have not. Could be an awesome guy.
I heard him on the radio.
Yeah.
He does seem.
Sounded important.
I'd imagine he does drop those.
Sick brag, bro.
I'd imagine he drops those brags.
Few of those.
Quite commonly.
Uh-huh.
But okay, we haven't interacted with him, so that's fair. We also get more top fives here. Julie the Cat. This one says Julie the Cat Hunter. That was not her name. It was Julie the Cat Gaffney.
Gaffney, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people like Well, we had a caller earlier that wanted the entire 1980 U.S. Olympic team, so maybe the whole Mighty Ducks would be on that guy's
list
as well.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
If you wanted to go D2.
Mr. T?
Oh, Mr. T's a good one.
Mr. T's not bad. Also a wrestling Hall of Famer.
Mr. T, also Clubber Lang.
And Clubber Lang.
Yeah.
And, yeah, B.A. Baracus. Wore a lot of hats.
Yeah, I know he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good one. 617-779-7937. When it does come to the Celtics, I think the big moves have mostly been ruled out for the C's. I wonder to what, like, how big of a game are they hunting? Not to confuse it with the shark analogy, but if they are listening on Jalen and White, and I guess one of the things they laughed off, there was reporting on this, that they laughed off the idea of Toronto offering them the number 9 pick for Derek White. Early on in the offseason,
yeah,
they laughed at it.
Which they should have.
Okay, but like what are they actually looking for in return? What are they listening for? And if it's a big, are they talking about Nate? Like you brought up Jaren Jackson Jr., Triple J.
Yeah.
Earlier in the week.
That's big time
like,
stuff.
Like, is that like, are we talking about a name like that? What's Brad Stevens angling for? Yeah. Or are they just looking at Horford, Cornette, and players like that to fill out their starting lineup? Like, what are they actually looking for? I'd be curious.
Yeah, me too.
And they're listening on these guys.
And, like, with Brad Stevens, I feel like, I don't know, the sky the limit here? They essentially, in a salary dump, got Anfernee Simons, who I'm pretty interested in. Now, then the next salary dump, you didn't get a great return, but you freed up way more space.
Yep.
So those were both moves that Brad Stevens was kind of forced to make that weren't going to be straight-up basketball moves. The next couple of moves that he makes, I feel like, are going to be basketball moves. So I'm like really intrigued as to who he's going to bring in.
Well, I would hope they are.
You can't just sign like the biggest contracts in the world. Like you don't have like a blank check. But I'm saying maybe Hauser ends up getting moved.
But if you got to subtract pieces to make room to sign somebody, then that's not really a basketball.
But
move.
What are the pieces though? Like if they're
Hauser.
Yeah. Okay.
Even Niang. I mean, I get what you're saying. You're sending those guys out in theory to make. Make cap space available to sign a big.
Well, that's true. I mean, well, but sign or trade him for a big.
True.
Right?
Get,
so that's the thing.
Is like, return. That's true.
If you're getting somebody back in return, that is, you know, Hauser's $10 million, Niang's like $8 million. So is there an $18 million big out there that Brad really likes? And then at that point, it is more of a basketball trade. Like you're not just dumping those two guys' contracts. Like you want to bring somebody in.
And because you're below the second apron, you can't aggregate contracts again.
Yeah.
So that's something you couldn't do when you were above the apron. Didn't restrict them from much. They still traded Holiday. They still traded Porzingis. One trade I liked, one trade I hated. So it didn't restrict them from making moves, but you couldn't aggregate contracts. Now you can do that.
And then the draft, really, just to put a bow on the draft, it was kind of a, like, nothing. TBD nothing. Yeah. Like, you can't even really grade
it. Is Gonzalez going to play in Boston this year?
I don't think
he's
so.
He's probably going to play in Portland.
I don't think so.
Yeah. If he's even here, if he's even, like, in the U.S., I bet he plays most of the time with the Red Claws.
Because like
Celtics.
They didn't trade up. They also didn't trade back in the first round. They traded back in the second round. And they didn't trade any of their other already rostered players. So the draft kind of came and went. All the fireworks for the team were in the days prior to the draft, moving on from Holiday and Porzingis. So you still have the rest of the offseason to tinker with the roster. Obviously, free agency opens up in whatever that is, week or two. And then we'll get going.
We did get one text in favor of Tom.
Pro Tom?
Yeah, pro Tom from the Greasy Pole. I'd imagine it's from Gloucester. Tom is my favorite guy.
Okay.
He didn't let Elite Curtis or Greg or any of those people beat him into letting Shime cut the line. Remember, this is a show that lives off rules and norms and respect, and they're the ones trying to weasel Shime up that pole.
So that was Tom texting him?
Maybe.
Great.
That's another view on that.
So he couldn't get on there for whatever it is, 3 seconds to sprint down there,
how long
crack a rib, fall in the water. Like, what is that? You can't do that. They
honestly,
even had somebody that was like waiting in line and then was like, you take my spot.
Honestly, it would be kind of smart for them to let an outsider in and be like, oh, you think this is so easy? And then Shime cracks a few ribs and it's like, yeah, nice try.
And then they
nice
can
try,
like,
buddy. This is for pros.
Highlight on a loop every time as a warning to everybody.
Yeah, Shime is concussed with 4 broken ribs.
It felt like a good opportunity that the two could have used each other in that
regard.
Good promotion for it.
Yeah, and almost a warning sign. Like, oh, you think you can do this? It's not so easy.
Turns out, no.
Okay, well, that's a missed opportunity by them. 617-779-7937. You want to jump in line for WEEI Afternoons? You can. They come your way at 2 o'clock. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. We'll get you the clip du jour. And right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Grab Bag. grab bag. Grab bag.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.